take a holiday, it will be unfair on the people who are ready to listen. They don't take holiday, why should I take holiday? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihi al-karim. Amma ba'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the human such that he is affected by the company of others around him. He is affected by the company of those people who are around him, those people in whose company he spends time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the human such that this effect he takes from anyone who he spends time in, whose time he spends time with. If he spends time with someone irreligious, this has an effect. And if he spends time with someone religious, this has an effect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives a fantastic example in a hadith. He says that مَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَالْجَلِيسِ السُّوءِ. An example to understand a pious companion and an irreligious and evil companion is like the one who sells perfume and a blacksmith. A perfume seller and a blacksmith. A good companion is like a perfume seller. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the perfume seller that there are two ways you benefit from the perfume seller. One is, إِمَّا يُحَذِيَكَ. He gives you some perfume as a gift. So you stayed in his company, so you benefited, you got a bottle of perfume, a bottle of it. أو تجد منه ريحا طيبة. Or if he doesn't give you anything, then at the very least, because he is working with perfumes all day, he is in a perfume shop, so there is a nice smell around him on his clothes. So if you spend time with him, that nice smell will stick to you for a bit as well. And how long will that nice smell stick to you for? Depends on how long you stay with him. If you stay with him in the shop all day, then that smell will stay on your clothes for quite a bit of time. And if you spend a few minutes, then the smell will have disappeared almost from the moment you step outside. But you will definitely gain this benefit, this nice smell. So, two types of benefits from the perfume seller. And the example of evil company is like a blacksmith. The blacksmith, either he will burn your clothes, he is working with fire and a spark falls on your clothes, it burns your clothes. Or if this doesn't happen, then at the very least that bad smell, the smell of smoke, you will experience that. Again, how much will you experience it? Depends on how long you stay with him. If you stay with him for a long time, then you will need to go put the clothes in the wash, that this man is not getting off these clothes. Here I should mention, because this is an important point, Deen prevents us from causing any person the slightest inconvenience. And this includes causing someone the inconvenience of having to smell a bad scent from us because we have been careless. You have been doing a long day of physical labor. And you come to the masjid, you are sweating, your clothes are smelling. And because of you, when you stand in the saf, then someone next to you, he's inconvenienced. Didn't prohibit this. You have just had a cigarette. Anyway, smoking cigarettes is a very harmful habit. But a person has just smoked a cigarette and the smell is fresh on his clothes. He comes into the masjid, or not the masjid, anywhere. And he goes into the company of a person and that person is inconvenienced by that smell. You are doing something prohibited. And this inconvenience of, we think it is small. A person, he just has to smell a bad smell for a few minutes. This inconvenience is so important that initially this is why the ghusl and the bath, the having a bath on the day of Jumu'ah was made compulsory. Initially, Deen did not tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not encourage anyone to have a bath on the day of Jumu'ah. But what happened? In that time, there were laborers. They used to work on farms. And on the day of Jumu'ah was the biggest gathering. This no longer happens in our countries, but it is possible in Muslim countries it still happens. That for Jumu'ah does not take place in every masjid. Jumu'ah takes place in the biggest masjid, the central masjid in the city or in the town. And all the other masjids remain closed at the time of Jumu'ah Salah, and everyone goes there. So there is a very large gathering. And of course, when there is a large gathering, then it gets warm, it gets stuffy anyway. So people were coming from a long day of labor. In that time, they used to wear thick woolen clothing as well. So when they used to gather for the Jumu'ah Salah, then a bad smell used to spread. So because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the command that it is compulsory to have a bath on the day of Jumu'ah before coming for the Jumu'ah Salah. Compulsory. So that means this inconvenience is so important. Saving someone from this inconvenience is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made having a bath compulsory for everyone. And then, as people's condition got better, there was not as much physical labor, people's clothing became finer and better. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that this is not a problem anymore. Then the ruling changed that no, now it is sunnah to have a ghusl on the day of Friday before the Jumu'ah Salah. So I was just mentioning as a side point that this is something that we should take care of. We have something which is strong smelling, then a person should make sure that smell is removed before he goes into the company of a person. If a person does have the habit of smoking, then before he goes into the company of anyone, then he should make sure that smell is not there. So the blacksmith, the example of evil company. Worst case scenario, a spark will fall on your clothes and you will burn your clothes. But if that does not happen, at the very least you will experience that bad smell. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave for good company, the example he gave was the perfume seller. And for bad company, the example he gave was the blacksmith. Now listen to this point carefully, because this is a very important point that we understand from this hadith. Then he said that the perfume seller benefits you in two ways. He gives you a bottle. So in the first form of benefit, he does something. He initiates an action. He gives you something. It's his action that benefits you. But the second form of benefit is he doesn't do anything. He just carries on about his work. But just because you are with him, you get this benefit of a nice smell. And the longer you are with him, the greater that benefit. So similarly, you spend some time in good company. Whether it is someone in the masjid, whether it is just you know that so-and-so person in my class at college, at school, or in so-and-so person in my workplace, he is a good Muslim. He has a religious worry. Or whether it is so-and-so relative of mine, you know that he has some religious worry. You spend time in their company, then there are one of two things will happen. The best case scenario is that they will advise you about something good. They will bring up a good deeny conversation. They will mention that Ramadan is around the corner. We should start preparing for Ramadan. We should start increasing our tilawah. We should start spending time in the masjid. They might mention that recently such a great natural disaster and earthquake has happened. We should spend as much as we can. So they are actively benefiting you. They might actively benefit you by practically giving you advice. One is verbal advice, the other is practical advice. Salah time comes and they say, let's go to the masjid. Practical benefit. But this is actively benefiting you. The person is doing something. That is benefit as well. Just like the perfume seller actively gives you a bottle. But the perfume seller doesn't do anything. But still you benefit from the good smell. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to say you spend time in good company and the person doesn't do anything. Let's say that person doesn't say a word to you. You come into the masjid, you sit, you come 5 minutes early for salah. So you sit in the first cell. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged that a person, if he comes and there is space in the first cell, then he should sit in the first cell. So you come, and say someone else sitting next to you, a pious person. And he does not say a word to you. He is busy, you are busy. He doesn't look at you, you don't look at him. Still that company is benefiting you. Just like that perfume seller, you are gaining the good smell from him. The difference is that good smell, the physical senses can detect the good smell. So we know we are getting that benefit from the perfume seller. But that benefit you are gaining from that pious person who you are sitting next to, that is a spiritual benefit. So we cannot detect that straight away. But over time, it definitely is making a difference. And the more pious the person, the better the effect. You find someone who is a person who has religious worry, he will benefit you. On the other hand, you find someone who is a wali of Allah, a special friend of Allah, his company will be much more special. And if a person, he is alive in the time of a Nabi and he gets a company of a Nabi, then this company is the most special of all company. In fact, it is not incorrect in saying that this is one of the most important things in affecting how religious a person is. It is the unanimous opinion of the Ummah that every single Sahabi, even the most unknown of Sahabi whose name we don't even know, in the eyes of Allah, his rank is such that a non-Sahabi, even if he is the most famous, the most well-known, the greatest alim, even if his name is Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, even if his name is Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, even if his name is Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayh, cannot reach the rank of the most unknown and the lowest ranked Sahabi. Why? What is so special about every Sahabi? The only thing special about every Sahabi is that Sahabi is that person who gained the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be it for a moment. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of the Anbiya. So his company was the effect of his company was the strongest. So his company was so strong that a person went into his company for a moment. His life would be transformed and his spiritual condition would be transformed to the extent that he would reach such a rank that that person who has not been able to get that company would not be able to reach him, would not be able to match him. In fact, he would go so far that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding such people that don't insult my companions. Because what is their rank in the eyes of Allah? If they spend one mud in charity, one mud is basically, I can't remember the exact, but you will have seen the containers in a wudu color. It is a large handful basically. One large handful they spend in the path of Allah. One of my companions, this is better than anyone else spending a mountain's worth in the path of Allah. This is the rank in the eyes of Allah. Why? Because of company. So company makes a difference, not only a difference, a huge difference to a person. Whether that company says something to you, whether that company advises you to do something, bad or good, the company definitely has an effect on you. And the same with evil company. You go to someone who is irreligious, who has bad habits. Worst case scenario, they will advise you, they will encourage you to do something bad. Let's go to the cinema. Let's go to this place. They will advise you to do something bad, worst case scenario. But if they don't do that, then just like that blacksmith, he doesn't do anything. He ignores you. But that smoke, you are harmed by that. Similarly, there is a spiritual detrimental effect because of which you will attain from this person. And because our hearts are not clean, so we don't feel this effect. It is just like there is a black cloth. A person has a black jubba on. And the stain comes on the black jubba, he will not spot it easily. Or he has clothes which are already very, very dirty, he will not spot it very easily. But he has a pristine white jubba on. He has just put it on clean, and then the stain comes, he will be able to see it straight away. Similarly, that person whose heart is pure and pristine and clean, the minutest effect of evil company he can spot. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was once performing salah. It is this narration is mentioned in Nasa'i Sharif. He was once performing salah and he got stuck in his qiraat. He got a bit mixed up. And this is not something which is a sin. This can happen to anyone. He got a bit mixed up. After his salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And he said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that why is it that there are some people who are turning up for salah without performing wudu properly? Because of this negligence of theirs, the effect of it is that I am getting stuck in my qiraat. What was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trying to say? Did the Sahabi do a sin? No. He just was a bit negligent in wudu. Maybe he didn't perform wudu in the sunnah manner. Maybe they rushed their wudu a bit, but it was done. It was not the case that their wudu was not done. But they did not perform wudu fully in the correct manner. And this had the effect on the leader of the Prophet that he got stuck in his qiraat. Hazrat Jimana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, the founder of the well-known Dawah and Tabligh movement, where people, they go out and knock on people's doors and they encourage them to come to the masjid, to come closer to deen. The founder and the organizer of this movement was Hazrat Jimana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, a very, very pious personality. Extremely pious personality. And a very great alim as well. So, initially when he started the work, then he was spending most of the time on the streets, knocking doors himself. And when you are knocking doors, then the majority of people you will meet are irreligious. The majority of people you will meet are irreligious. Yes, when you go there, you will not be talking to them about worldly matters, you will be talking to them about deeni matters. So you will be having a deeni conversation with them. Understand this, what I am saying, and listen very carefully, because it illustrates how strong and how clear the effect of bad company is. Hazrat Jimana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah, a very, very pious personality. He used to go to have a worldly conversation with people, no, to call them towards the masjid, to call them towards salah. But he himself, because he was a very pious personality, so his heart was pure and it was clean. So he used to say that after knocking on many doors, after some time, I would feel the effect of it on my heart. I would feel the effect of it on my heart. Was he talking about something sinful? No. Was he talking about some worldly matter? No. It was a deeni conversation. But with the deeni conversation, he was in the company of that person who has opened the door for a few minutes. And that is being repeated, that is being repeated, that is being repeated. Because Hazrat Jimana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's heart was pure and pristine, just like that white piece of cloth. So when that effect, that stain of bad company fell on it, then he felt it straight away. So he would say that after that, what would I do? The cure for bad company is good company. So he would say, I would go to Hazrat Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi's Khanqa, into their company, the pious people of that type. And he says, I would spend a few days in their company. Because bad company, you want to remove the effects of bad company, you need good company. That is the cure. And if there is no, sometimes good company is not available. So he says that if I did not have the opportunity to go to one of these pious people, what would I do? I would spend a few days in i'tikaf in the masjid, away from anyone, no company, and busy myself in zikr and tilawat. So, even if you are involved in a dini activity with someone irreligious, then still definitely that person's company has an effect on you. So this mindset we have, that, oh, I have a friend, I have a colleague who is not religious, I know he is irreligious, but I like his company, I spend time with him, but he doesn't encourage me to do anything bad. He doesn't tell me to stop performing salah, he doesn't tell me to go to a cinema, so it's fine, it's not fine. Even if he doesn't say anything, his lips don't utter anything taking you away from deen, and he doesn't even do any action in your presence which is irreligious, still his company is having an effect. So we need to realize this. It is not incorrect in saying that this is the easiest way to become religious and the easiest way to go off track, to become irreligious. You don't have to do anything to benefit from company. You don't have to do anything. If I tell you, you recite one juz of the glorious Quran every day and you will benefit spiritually, you have to do something. You have to exert the effort. To benefit from good company, you don't need to do anything. You just need to go into that company. Yes, we will mention later that there are some things which will make that company even stronger, even more beneficial. But you going into that company will make that company beneficial. And like I mentioned, it is also the easiest way to go off track. Because now if you oppress someone, if you miss your salah, if you do this evil sin, if you do that sin, then that will harm your spirituality. That will harm your deen. That is correct. But then you are doing something there. You have to do something for that harm. Evil company, you don't have to do anything. You are going to the company of that person, you are harming yourself. Your deen is being harmed. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that al-mar'u ala deeni khalili, that a person is on the deen, the habits, the religion of his friend. Wait, who is your friend? That person who you spend a lot of time with. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the deeni condition will become very similar. If you want to understand a person's deeni condition, look at his friends. So, let us understand this point and let us make it a point. Every person knows that out of the people I associate with, this person is irreligious. And a person should slowly but surely make it a point to distance himself from such people. We are not saying that distance yourself means don't talk to them, don't say assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. No. Don't spend extra time in the company more than you need to. Okay, he is your colleague at work, he is your colleague in school, he is your colleague in college. That is why you are forced to spend time in his company. In reality, if you are forced to spend time in bad company, then the cure is spend time in good company to remove that effect. But if you have taken some poison, what is the cure? Get some antidote which will remove the poison. But that is, let's say you are forced to stay in that company, you cannot change that. I'm in my workplace for 4 hours and I know that this person who I have to sit next to is irreligious. Okay, you cannot change that. But you can't change the fact that every second weekend you go out to eat with him as well. That you will go out for a day with him as well. So change that much. And the same for good company. Where possible, to adopt good company. In fact, when we come to these dini programs, these dini talks, there are two benefits we get. And this is a very important point to understand, because nowadays everyone has made it the habit that if I listen from home on the receiver, or if I come to the masjid and listen, what's the difference? And many people, they tell me as well, I encourage them to say, I listen from home. So, whenever you go to a dini talk, there are two benefits you get. The first benefit is whatever advice is being imparted. This is a very great benefit. The second benefit, which is just as great, if not greater, is that when you go into a dini talk, the person doing the talk, there are people around you, all have come with a religious concern, with religious worry. People who have religious worry, you are spending time in their company. This has a very strong effect as well. And if you listen from home, you will gain the words. That is, if you are able to listen properly. Majority of the time, we will know ourselves that when you are listening to a talk at home and you are listening to a message, there's a vast difference. Something distracts you at home. You miss half the talk and you don't even realize. Oh, you are on the sofa and at the same time you have pulled your phone out and 50% attention here, 50% attention there. We know that. But let's say if all of that doesn't happen, you listen with full attention at home. Then you will gain the benefit of the advices being imparted, but you will not gain the benefit of the company of the people in the masjid. And if someone wants to see with their own eyes and experience themselves the benefit, then spend 3 months, it's not even 3 months, spend 2 months weekly going into the company of an alim for half an hour, and then spend 3 months listening at home. I guarantee you will see the difference in terms of benefit. Yes, for women, for disabled people who are not able to make it to the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He understands every person's situation. So that person who is not able to make it to the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah give them the benefit of the company at home as well. That is in the hands of Allah. But otherwise, we should make it a point to benefit from company as much as possible and to stay away from harmful company as much as possible. I will mention one final point. Company definitely has an effect. But that effect is multiplied, strengthened, whether bad company or evil company, if you have love and inclination towards that person. That is why friends have such a strong effect on people. A person, I have seen with my own eyes, and I've heard so many people, that the father says, well, that he was doing so well, he was performing in salah. He has religious worry and concern, he had a beard on his face. And then suddenly, completely off track. So majority of the time you will see that a friend came into the life. So now they're spending company a friend who is irreligious. Now they're spending time in someone's company who is irreligious. And their friends, so they have love for him. And when you have love for the company you are in, then this effect, the effect transfers very, very quickly. So, from this we also understand another point. That if you have love for someone, the effect transfers very quickly. And if you don't have love for someone, then the effect will be weakened. So if we do have to spend time in evil company, work, college, then okay, we cannot change the company, but we can't change how much friendship we have for such people. I'm not saying hate anyone. Deen does not say to hate anyone, whether sinner or whether religious, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. Deen says treat everyone with compassion, kindness and fairness. But Deen does not say become friends with everyone. Treat every person with compassion, kindness and fairness. But when it comes to making friends with someone, friends means that person has a place in your heart. Their deen says, be very careful. Don't make such a person a friend whose company and whose love will harm your deen condition. Whether Muslim or non-Muslim. So, let us understand this and let it should not be a case that, whatever company life brought me to college, so I'm in that company and I've become friends with those. Life brought me to this workplace, so life brought me to this street, so this neighbor and that neighbor I'm becoming friends with. No. whilst treating everyone with kindness, compassion. Choose your friends and the people who you want to spend time in company with very carefully. If a person does this, as well as benefiting from good company as much as he can, then inshallah this will make deen so easy for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. This gathering of us, for each and every one of us, for myself as well, this is good company. For each one of you as well, this is good company, and people who have gathered together for a religious concern. So let us make it a point to attend on a weekly basis. I don't think it is very rare that it is longer than half an hour, 40 minutes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to practice upon this. Then I realized it's Salah was 15 minutes.